Hello, this is Reverend Irvin. I am so pleased to greet you and say hello to you during these first few days of Advent. Advent is a word which means coming, and during these 4 weeks of December prior to Christmas, we are getting ready to, anticipating and preparing for the coming of Christmas, for the coming of Christ. It's a beautiful season. It may be, in the minds of some, marred by the commercialism which has become so much a part of our cultural Christmas. And yet it's possible for each one of us to look behind that, to be behind that, and to touch the spirit that really is Christmas, God sharing himself with us. So during these wonderful days, let us prepare ourselves through prayer and meditation, through scripture reading, in whatever fashion we can, to get our hearts ready that the Christ may be born to us. We hope that you have a pleasant week, and we know that if you turn to God regularly and faithfully, that he will bless you and enrich your lives. Now it's time for our children to come for a brief time. All the boys and girls are welcome. We'd like to have them come and share. There's a lot of them this morning. We always have quite a few, and we have these ones with the white gowns on. So come right on down. Good to see all of you. Did you show me a place? Yeah, you did. What would you say? What would you say if I should say Happy New Year to you? What would you say?
Happy New Year to you too.
You'd say it right back. Well, go right on. Well, it's not really New Year's yet, is it? That's about a month away, isn't it? But it is New Year's, because today is the beginning of Advent. And Advent is the first season of the Christian year. And so this is New Year's. The first thing that happened with the Christians was that Jesus was born, and then other things happened. So Christians have a calendar, which they call the church year, the Christian year, which begins the first Sunday in Advent. And this is the first Sunday in Advent. Now, what is Advent? Can you say that? Advent?
Advent.
Advent means coming, and there's about, 23 days until Christmas. So we spend 23 days waiting for the coming of Jesus at Christmas time. And we have, this morning, what we call an Advent wreath. How many of you know what an Advent wreath is? There's one right up there. Some of you have one in your Sunday school this morning. And we light a candle, four candles, for each of the Sundays in Advent. And that signifies Jesus is the light. It also signifies that we take each Sunday and each week thinking about Jesus, getting our hearts ready. Well, we think more about Santa Claus, perhaps. But Jesus is the real center of Christmas. Also, you'll see that the candles are purple. And I have on a purple stole. The choir has on purple stoles. And purple is the color of Advent. And it means two things. Purple is a sign of royalty or kings. And so we expect the coming of Jesus, the King, into our lives. It also means that we sacrifice a little, that we think a little about Jesus, our Lord. So these things we can do during Advent. We can do our Christmas shopping. We can write to Santa and tell him what our gift preferences are. We can do all those kinds of things. But here in the church, and I hope you'll take time outside of the church to think of Jesus and prepare for him. And remember, he's the coming King, and he will come into your heart this Christmas if you'll let him, if you'll prepare for it during Advent. Thank you for coming this morning. Eternal Father, who first visited us in the infant lowly, and who now resides with us as a spirit holy, accept us as we wait in anticipating of communicating with you in this hour of worship and adoration. You are holy, and we dare not approach you save in humility and with repentant hearts. Turn us not away, O God. Accept us, and may our worship and celebration be acceptable to you. Render unto us, O Lord, the perceptiveness of mind, the openness of spirit, and the willingness of the will to look for you during these days. Let us not lose sight of the Christ amid our modern ways of celebrating Advent and Christmas. May we so diligently seek him in coming days that he cannot help but find us. Let us think Christ and live Christ until we meet him in our hearts, and until the angels sing to each of us personally, "Unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We offer you praise and thanksgiving. We speak our words of gratitude and sometimes sense that they're really only words. But we are grateful people. We acknowledge our dependence on your love and power. We know that we are blessed by your grace in little things as well as in magnificent ones. For stones of stumbling which mature us, for friends and family who nourish us, for experiences which elate us, for the powers of mind and body which enrich us, for the senses which add depth to our lives, for people who trust us and inspire us, for the hopes and dreams which lift us, for the Christ who saves us. For all that, for much more, we thank you. We thank you especially for this church, for each member and friend who express their love for you through it. We praise you for the Advent season and what you have done, are doing, and can do in the lives of all of us who call ourselves Christian. Now, our Father, your compassion and love have become part of our experiences and lives. So we take unto ourselves concerns and cares about others. As we wait in a silent moment, hear our prayers of intercession. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Sometimes when you're conducting a worship service or doing something else that you do regularly, and you find yourself 5 or 10 minutes ahead of time, you begin to reflect, did I leave out something? Now, that promises, if we didn't leave out anything, it promises that you will get out early, or it gives me opportunity to speak longer. I think we'll get out earlier. On warm summer evenings, when I was a child, and I suspect many of you did too, we used to play a game called hide and seek. And whoever was it closed his eyes and counted to a certain number, usually, in our instance, 100, and everybody else ran to hide. Then, when 100 had been reached, it called out, "Ready or not, here I come." And then he went out to find the others, and usually in our instance, raced them back to the home base and captured them or whatever. Now, we have always been playing hide and seek with God. It started way back in the garden. Adam and Eve one time heard God walking in the cool of the evening in the garden, and they got behind a bush and tried to hide themselves. And we've been doing that ever since. And whether Adam and Eve were ready or not, God found them. That's Advent, and it's appropriate to think along these lines, for on the first Christian night, whether the world was ready or not, God came. And some received him, and some did not. But more than that, in this present time, the Lord comes to this world whether we're ready for him or not. Whether we want him or not, we are constantly and forever confronted by his presence. In this first Sunday of Advent, our theme is the Lord who came in the past, who is coming today, and who will come at the end of time. Now, it's our faith that on a specific night, in a special place, in a particular person, God came to this world. It was the advent of the divine, the Creator visiting his creation. And as we have already intimated, not everyone was ready for him. There was no room for him in an inn. Herod wasn't ready. How could a ruling king such as Herod be ready for another who promised to be king? The scribes and the Pharisees, the rich and the powerful, they were already in command, so they had no need of a savior. But there were a few, apparently, who were ready, and they opened their lives to him. They were publicans. They were outcasts. They were prostitutes. They were sinners. They were lepers. They wanted acceptance. They needed mercy. They were ready for help. They knew that they were sick. And they received him. They ate and drank with him. Some left everything they had, which wasn't much probably, and followed him, this God who visited his creation. So today, at the start of this Christmas season, we remember the past and that first Christmas when Jesus came to a world partly ready and partly not ready. Few accepted him, most rejected him. But there was no doubt in the hearts of the believers that God had come personally into the world. Now, before we turn to the present, let us note one more thing. The first Christmas story is not a story of men and women who finally found God. It's a story of a God who confronted men and women, who took them by surprise, and who found them. Mary and Joseph didn't search for God. God came and surprised them. Peter and Paul weren't looking for God, but both of them were suddenly found themselves face to face with the divine. And even those who did not accept him, they still had to deal with him. The scribes, the Pharisees, Herod, the rest. The very religious society we live in today is full of techniques and methods by which you can climb to heaven and find God. For a fee, you can learn systems on how to discover the divine and to gain access to the meaning of life. All these religious how-to-find-God are at best misleading. The problem is not how to find God. The problem is, ready or not, God has found us, and we can no longer equivocate. We must either say yes, or we must say no. That leads us from the past tense to the present tense. Advent and Christmas are not just a time to look back and take a sentimental journey in our imagination to the little town of Bethlehem. In Advent, we open our eyes to the Lord, who is even now, in this very moment, breaking into this world, and who at this very time is active in our lives. Our faith is not about a philosophy of life. We do not trust in a set of ideas about God. Our Lord is not just a memory, locked in creeds and buried safely under 19 centuries of religion. Ours is rather a living Lord, who, ready or not, is coming to life and intruding into it right now. And there's no hiding place where you can crouch and avoid his presence. There is no darkness that can cover you. Yes or no? But the Lord who comes is only visible to the eyes of faith. We see the Lord everywhere, not only in the words of the Bible, not only in the bread and wine of communion, but in our lives and in the history of the human race. Sometimes we see ourselves receiving him, sometimes rejecting him. Can you recall in your life a time when you were felt alienated and separated, stuck with your old self, weak, in pain, and then something happened? Perhaps forgiveness was experienced, or maybe love broke through your loneliness. Maybe you heard a healing word from the scripture or from the pulpit. Or maybe you experienced the amazing grace as you knelt in prayer. Or maybe someone spoke to you in a voice that cared. And then you knew that you were not alone. Our eyes of faith know that however renewal came, God was there in the bread and wine, in the words of Scripture, in the voice of a friend. The Lord was breaking in to bring you from death to life. But there are those moments when the Lord appears and is rejected. Since God is the only source of life, when you and I reject him, we're rejecting life. And can't you recall those times when you heard the voice of God and shut your ears and turned your eyes away and tried to find some convenient bush to hide behind? And can't you remember the price that you paid and maybe are paying right now in fear and pain, in frustration? It came to you when you tried to go it alone, without chart, without compass to guide, with only the darkness of loneliness and sin closing in around you. John puts it this way, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's a good text for Advent 1979, because we live in a world which has for a long, long time systematically and categorically rejected the Lord. Slowly but surely, our world has convinced itself that God is superfluous. After all, we have reason, we have technology, we have power, we have know-how. This is the 20th century, the last quarter of it, in fact. We have the atom and we have computers. We have dollars but little sense. We have spaceships and nuclear warheads. And it's hard to fit God into this televised, plasticized, automated, and programmed world of ours. There's little room for the living Lord. Ah, but what a price. What a price we are paying. You know that too well. Read the newspapers. Not just the sports and the funnies. If you do, you will see the world which has chosen darkness rather than light. And God lets his people walk in darkness. Let us pray that we shall soon turn to the light while there is yet time. But that is not the last word. Thank God for that. Jesus has come in the distant past. He is coming now to heal those who receive him. But that's not the final word. This world of ours is not eternal. It had a beginning, and it will have an end. This is not a purposeless and meaningless chaos. About that, we cannot speak with direct propositions and formula. About that purpose and meaning, we can only point with symbols. We can only gesture with parables. And we can only try to speak the unspeakable. But the story is the same. However inadequately we may be able to express it, the future is in God's hands. At the end, the victory will not go to death and sin. It will not go to sorrow and tears. It will not go to pain and anxiety. It will not go to injustice and oppression. We have prayed earlier, "Thy kingdom come." It will. The final victory will go to God, to life, to joy, to justice. And whether we're ready or not, God will come and accomplish his purpose. So we live in December 1979 with the horrors of our time. A drugged society, murder, international tensions, starvation, inflation, taxes. But we live with a sure and certain hope, and we live in joyful expectation. Why? For God is God. God will come again and will prevail. Now, do you remember, of course you do, how the game of hide and seek used to end? When the game was over, or when some had hidden so well that it could not find them, it would call out, "All the outs in free, all the outs in free." Then it was safe to come out of hiding and come back to home base. We're in the middle of the game now, but we know how it's going to end. We know that the one who was born at Bethlehem, the one who comes to us today, will continue to come in the future until heaven is brought to earth. Then we will be safe, and we can come out of hiding, and we can come home free at last. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, not only of the Advent, but of all that you have created, all that you will create, come into our hearts during this Advent season. Come and confront us and give us strength and the courage to say yes. So often we have said no. This year, may it be a new year for us. In a new life, because we respond to you as we meet you in our daily round. In the name of Christ, Amen. 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 Amen.